And we are not free necessarily from material desires, though still may be within the heart as the process of bhakti continues to work over some time. I was reading later in the 11th canto in the Uddhava Gita section, a couple of very nice verses that talk about this. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14, 14th chapter coming up, verse 18, Krishna says to Uddhava, "My dear Uddhava, if my devotee has not fully conquered his senses, he may be harassed by material desires." It sounds familiar. Here we are, harassed by material desires. "But because of his unflinching devotion for me, he will not be defeated by sense gratification." And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says in his purport that one performing karma, jnana, and yoga will all be lost if they fall down from that practice. So anything else that one tries to do, if it's incomplete, basically you're in a bad shape. I was going to say something else. you're definitely not in a good position if one falls down from the path of yoga, jnana, etc. Because where do you go? What do you do? But Vishnu Thakura says a devotee is never overcome and he's not considered sinful even if he may fall down. And of course, then Vishnu quotes Apichet Sadaracharo. We talked about that a little bit yesterday, and in the class on Bhaktivinoda Thakura, Prem Govinda gave a real nice example of that very, very sinful guard who had killed his guru. Consider how the most horrible thing you could think of doing. But yet he was instructed, if he chants the holy name of the Lord, that's all you can do. Just continue to do that. Now, that's not exactly what we're talking about when we talk about an accidental fall down, but still, the idea is there that a devotee who may be very sincere in his practice may have some slip or some fall down, but that does not deter him in his practice of bhakti. This is from a purport by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura for that verse. He says, "Though the devotee is distressed by sense objects, he is not overcome. Because both verbs are in the present tense, it implies that even while being harassed by sense objects, he is really not harassed because bhakti is present. A person who is attacked by weapons of an enemy cannot be defeated because of the presence of his bravery. Or on the day that a powerful medicine is taken to prevent fever, though the fever still causes suffering, it is not really the cause of suffering since the fever is in a state of being destroyed and will be completely destroyed the next day." So in other words, if you are in the process of bhakti, you are protected. Even though, and I think that's a really wonderful example, it's very clear, you're feeling feverish, you're very sick, you have some condition, like we all have, this material condition of life, but you're taking the medicine. So even though some of those symptoms of the illness still remain, it takes a couple days for that medicine to work. But you shouldn't be considered that, oh, you're in a terrible sick condition, because the process is starting to work. In a couple days, you feel much better. So in the same way, we're in the process of bhakti yoga. And the fever of material life, of sense gratification, may still be there, may still be, as it's described in this verse, that we're still harassed by material desires. But nevertheless, if one is firmly fixed in bhakti, then that will soon come to an end. So we might think, what is the difference? Why is a devotee protected? Why not other people? Why? What's so special about the devotee? But we are protected by that devotee. We are protected by that devotion, by that bhakti, because Krishna is personally protecting his devotee. But it means we must be completely situated in devotional service. And in the purports, it's very clear, there can't be any other practice. If you're practicing, jnana, yoga, karma, you're not going to have that same protection. So the idea is the devotee may not yet be pure, but he's engaged in a pure process. That's why it's so important that we cling tightly to the instructions of the spiritual master, that we take Srila Prabhupada's process and do not change it, which means even if we don't perform it properly all the time, or we do not perform it perfectly, we perform it with great faith. We have faith in the process of bhakti as given to us by our acharyas. We have no other shelter but Krishna and the process of bhakti. As is described in the verse 11:14, that one has unflinching devotion to me, then one will be protected. The word that in that verse is pragalbhya bhakti. I don't know Sanskrit, but it was defined as effective and strong. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur defines it a little different as generally strong. I don't know. It must be like many things that what I've understand about these verses in Sanskrit. There's many different ways you can interpret and get different meanings, and they're all right. It's not the one's wrong, one's right. And you can see that, like sometimes you'll see in like, you know, some of the commentaries by Vishwanath or Sanatana Goswami, they'll translate it, but then they give four different translations. He said it could also be this, could mean this, and different things, which is some of just the wonder and the beauty of how Krishna has given us this wonderful philosophy and so much poetry that's behind it. Anyway, Vishwanath says it can also mean generally strong, which implies that one is at the beginning stages of bhakti and he is also protected. So in other words, if one has very strong bhava bhakti, you're totally protected by the Lord, but even the beginning stages of bhakti, you're still under that protection. So we can understand that this wonderful process, especially the process of chanting. And so we might ask, well, how does one become purified? If we have this purifying process, what's actually happening? Well, this is kind of a metaphor, a poetic way. I don't know if it answers exactly, you know, philosophically, metaphysically, but it's very nice. The next verse, 11:14-19, says, read the Sanskrit. Yatagni su samriddarchi karoti dhamsi basamat tatamad vishaya bhakti uta vainamsha krishna sa. Now, if I could learn verses, that's one I would learn. It's because the translation is, my dear Uddhava, just as a blazing fire turns firewood into ashes, similarly, devotion unto me completely burns to ashes sins committed by my devotees. So, it may sound simplistic, but Krishna consciousness is at its very, very heart and basis fairly simple. Promises simple for the simple, difficult for the crooked, right? In other words, the basics are there. What does Krishna do? Just as the wood is burned and by the fire turned to ashes, all of those sinful reactions, sinful desires in the heart are burned to ashes by the process of bhakti yoga, by devotion to Krishna. So there's great power in this chanting, great power in this process of bhakti, even at the beginning stages. And we had one of the most wonderful explanations in our scriptures given by none other than Srila Haridas Thakur, when he explained the process of namabhasa. And this is a very, very nice pastime. As you know, there are three stages of chanting, the offensive stage in the beginning, then there's the clearing stage of the namabhasa or bhasa rupa stage, the middle clearing stage, and then finally, shuddha bhakti, there is the pure stage of chanting, right? So we should try to be at least reaching the namabhasa stage, at least the clearing stage, because Haridas Thakur says, even a faint light from the holy name of the Lord can eradicate all the reactions of sinful life. So we have the same point that's being discussed here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, also described by Haridas Thakur in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm going to read a little bit, I'm skipping through some of the lines, but this is basically Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ancha 3, 175-200. This is during the meeting with Haridas Thakur, many devotees in the home of Hiranya and Govardhan, who of course were very, very rich. And they were the uncles of Raghunatha, that's right. They were uncles? Father and uncle. Okay, the father and the uncle of Raghunatha Das Goswami. Anyway, but they were very, very wealthy, as we know. But they were devotees as well. Even though they were somewhat attached to him, they were still very, very wonderful devotees. Anyway, Haridas Thakur was talking about the chanting of the holy name, and everyone was very happy. Said it was mentioned in the assembly that Haridas Thakur chanted the holy name of Krishna 300,000 times a day, which amounts to 64 times 3 is like 192 rounds every day. That's difficult. That's really difficult. You don't sleep much. Thus all the learned scholars began to discuss the glories of the holy name. Some of them said, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is free from the reaction of all sinful life. Others said, simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, a living being is liberated from material bondage. But Haridas Thakur protested, these two benedictions are not the true result of chanting the holy name. Actually, by chanting the holy name without offenses, one awakens ecstatic love for the lotus feet of Krishna. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He laughs, cries, he becomes agitated and chants like a madman, not caring for outsiders. Haridas Thakur said, as the sun begins to rise, even before it is visible, it dissipates the darkness of light. With the first glimpse of sunlight, fear of thieves, ghosts, and demons immediately disappears. And when the sun is actually visible, everything is manifest. Everyone begins performing religious activities and regular duties. Similarly, the first hint that offenseless chanting of the Lord's holy name has awakened dissipates the reaction of sinful life immediately. And when one chants the holy name offenselessly, one awakens to service and ecstatic love at the lotus feet of Krishna. Liberation is an insignificant result from a glimpse of the awakening of offenseless chanting of the holy name. While dying, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord, intending to call his son Narayan. Nevertheless, he attained the spiritual world. What then to speak of those who chant the holy name with faith and reverence? At the house of Haranya and Govardhan, Majumdara, a person named Gopal Chakravarti was officially the chief tax collector. He had handsome bodily features. He was learned and youthful, but he could not tolerate the statement that simply by glimpsing the awakening of the Lord's holy name one can attain liberation. This young man, Gopal Chakravarti, became very angry upon hearing the statements of Haridas Thakur. He immediately criticized him. Oh, assembly of learned scholars, he said, just hear the conclusion of the emotional devotee. We should all be so emotional. After many millions upon millions of births, when one is completely in absolute knowledge, one still may not attain liberation. Yet this man says one may attain it simply by the awakening of a glimpse of the holy name. Haridas Thakur said, why are you doubtful? The revealed scriptures say that one can attain liberation simply by a glimpse of offenseless chanting the holy name. For a devotee who enjoys the transcendental bliss of devotional service, liberation is most insignificant. He's quoting verses now. Therefore, pure devotees never desire to achieve liberation. My dear Lord, O Master of the universe, since I have directly seen you, my transcendental bliss has taken the shape of a great ocean. Being situated in that ocean, I now realized all other so-called happiness, including even Brahmananda, to be like the water contained in a hoof print of a calf. Anybody know where that verse is from? It's a famous verse. I just don't know the source. I think it's another verse. Oh, is it? Is it in Maja 20? Okay. Gopal Chakravarti said, if one is not liberated by Nambasa, then you may be certain that I shall cut off your nose. Well, Haridas Thakur accepted the challenge offered by Gopal Chakravarti. If by Nambasa liberation is not available, he said, certainly I shall cut off my nose. Well, everyone was very upset. And Gopal Chakravarti, his position as tax collector, was immediately removed. The brothers sort of kicked him out of the house. He fired him from his job. But Haridas Thakur took no offense. However, Krishna took offense. The devotee may not take offense, but Krishna takes offense on behalf of his devotee to protect his devotees. So what happened to Gopal Chakravarti? 3 days later, he gets leprosy. And he had his beautiful nose basically melted in his fingers, and he was very, very afflicted with leprosy because of this great offense that he committed to the Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur. Anyway, it was the pastime is kind of very interesting and amusing, but Haridas Thakur's instructions are so powerful and so important. And one of the verses Srila Prabhupada wrote in a purport, the example of Bhaskara, the sun, is most appropriate. The Abhas feature of bhakti is compared to twilight. That's the middle stage, clearing stage of bhakti. The Abhas feature is compared to twilight, and accumulations of one's sinful activity is compared to fog. Since fog does not spread throughout the sky, the sun need do no more than merely manifest its first rays, and the fog immediately disappears. We've all seen that, especially in the winter here. It's foggy in the morning, and then when the sun comes up, it is all dissipated. Similarly, if one has even a slight relationship with devotional service, all the fog of the sinful life is immediately vanquished. So even in the beginning stages of devotional service, the beginning stages of chanting, there is great benefit, and there's great purification of the conditioned souls. So that's a very nice verse, very important ideas here. And I'm going to finish by reading the pastime of the passing of Haridas Thakura, because I think it's very beautiful. And most of our disappearance days, we don't really know much about how the person actually disappeared. We don't usually talk about that, you know, because it's kind of, you know, it's not like Vaishnavs. We appreciate the devotee, and we know theoretically that, you know, that the appearance and disappearance are the same for the Vaishnava, but at the same time, we don't really like to think about the devotee. You know, well, we just sing the song. He wants to bash his head against the stone, I think, in separation of these great devotees. But we do have this pastime of Haridas Thakura's disappearance. It's kind of rare, and it's very, very wonderful. I thought, just before I do that, because we're gonna, that'll completely move us into a different area of thinking, whether did anyone have a comment or question on this particular verse of subject matter? Yes, we got it. We could put the microphone over there to the...
In the purport, if I'm not mistaken, it said that after sufficient purification of one's heart, then the Lord will never leave the heart of that devotee. How do we explain this when we understand also that the Lord is in the heart of every living being and never leaves him after for millions and millions of births? He's the best friend.
That's a wonderful question. My understanding, this is my understanding for what it's worth, is that Krishna, of course, is Paramatma, is in the heart of every living entity. But in for his devotee, Krishna is directly within the heart, not as a Paramatma feature, but as his feature, Bhagavan Krishna. Does that sound right? You heard that? Okay.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Another question is then, is Gopal Chakravarti offended Haridas Thakura, and the Lord's response to that was to defend his devotee.
Yes.
In the case of Ambarish Maharaj and Durvas Muni, it's different the way the Lord responds. Is it because there's a different lesson to learn here? You know, the Lord says, I can't stop the Sudarshan Chakra. You have to go to that devotee that you offended.
Yeah. Yeah, it is different. And there was who was the other Gopal that offended, had, you know, put the paraphernalia of Durga for worship? And Shivananda Singh. Who's that? Gopal Champa. Yeah, was that another Gopal. In that case also, when he was very distressed and he came to Lord Chaitanya said, no, you have to go to, was it Srivas Pandit? Yeah, you have to go to Srivas and ask his forgiveness. It was the same idea. So that idea is there, that if one is one offends a devotee, that one must ask their forgiveness. I'm not sure exactly. I'd have to, maybe if we reread this carefully, there's some explanation of purports, but I really don't know why he wasn't like directed to go back and clear that offense or apologize to Haridas Thakura. He simply got a reaction. So it's probably another lesson. You know, Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya are teaching us many, many lessons, and this is one of the lessons, a very heavy lesson. Don't offend the devotee. And particularly, he was not only offending the devotee, but he was totally challenging scripture, totally challenging the conclusions, you know, of the Vaishnava literature. I mean, he was like acting like he was a Vaishnava, but he actually wasn't accepting, you know, Vaishnava philosophy and the power of the holy name. So I guess it was a heavy lesson here. Yeah. A couple quick ones here, one here and then Madonna.
I was just reading, it's related to this. If one offends a devotee, he needs to approach the devotee. Yeah. Ask for forgiveness. Similarly, if one offends the holy name, he has to approach the holy name and beg for forgiveness.
Yeah, it's actually described that you can eradicate almost all offenses by chanting the holy name, but what about offenses to the holy name? You have to continue chanting Hare Krishna with faith and to try to eradicate those offenses.
So the idea that
yeah. Yeah. Exactly. When we say offenses against the holy name, that's Krishna in his holy name form or feature. Yeah. And we have a return of Madan Mohan from his travels. Haribol, welcome back. And as we expect, he will have a comment for us.
Right. On the same point, on the idea in the beginning, on that famous verse, the 325:33, bhakti dissolves, digests the subtle body. Bhakti yoga dissolves
body. Dissolves the subtle body.
Yeah. Okay. So in the purport to that, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, digests it. Digestion starts with the first bite.
Uh-huh. Digestion starts with the first bite. And beginning of bhakti.
And then when it goes to the second system, the stomach, it separates it into nourishment and waste, which was accepting those things favorable and rejecting those things unfavorable.
Yeah.
And then
nice analogy.
And then the other point, the verse always, well, you used to quote quite a bit, is 11:20, 27:28. So when he does fall down, he regrets. So that regretting part is the purification that stabilizes the condition. So
I was thinking that verse too, but I use it so much I thought I don't want to overwork it. It's very appropriate. 11:20, 27:28, isn't it? Yeah. Great verse. Okay. All right. Why don't, because we're out of time. This is, I think it's taking 5 minutes or so. This is the from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila. Where is it? Chapter 3? No, chapter 5, I think. Of Anchalila. Anyway. The passing of Haridas Thakur, it's mostly intact. I took out a few verses just because of time. Haridas Thakur is now quite old. He's unable to chant his rounds. He says his illness is actually spiritual. Of course, it's not. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, well, you don't have to chant so many rounds. You know, give yourself a break, sort of. You know, you've done everything. You've done all of your work. But still, he's very old now. I don't know exactly how old he is. 80, 90 years old, maybe? Because he was a generation before, you know, isn't he a... who was? Yeah, and he was a contemporary, right? Okay. So he's 88 years old by now then, or whatever, 80-some years old. Okay. He says to Lord Chaitanya, I have had one desire for a very long time. I think that quite soon, my Lord, you will bring to a close your pastimes within this material world. I wish that you not show me this closing chapter of your pastimes before that time comes. Kindly let my body fall down in your presence. I wish to catch your lotus-like feet upon my heart and see your moon-like face. With my tongue, I shall chant your holy name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That is my desire. Kindly let me give up my body in this way. O merciful Lord, if by your mercy is possible, grant me this desire. Because he had to perform his noon duties, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up to leave, but it was settled the following day after he saw Lord Jagannath, he had returned to visit Haridas Thakur. The next morning, after visiting the Jagannath temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accompanied by all of his devotees, went hastily to see Haridas Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees came before Haridas Thakur, who offered his respects to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya inquired, my dear Haridas, what is the news? Upon hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately began great congregational chanting in the courtyard. Vakreshwara Pandit was the chief dancer. Guided by Sarup Damodar Goswami, all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu surrounded Haridas Thakur and began congregational chanting. In front of all the great devotees like Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to describe the holy attributes of Haridas Thakur. As he described the transcendental attributes of Haridas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seemed to possess five mouths. The more he described, the more his great happiness increased. After hearing of the transcendental qualities of Haridas Thakur, all the devotees present were struck with wonder. They offered their respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sit down in front of him, and he fixed his eyes like two bumblebees on the lotus face of the Lord. He held the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his heart, and then he took the dust of the feet of all the devotees present and put it on his head. He began to chant the holy names of Sri Krishna Chaitanya again and again. As he drank the sweetness of the face of the Lord, tears constantly glided down from his eyes. While chanting the holy name of Sri Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he gave up his air of life and left his body. Seeing the wonderful death of Haridas Thakur by his own will, which was just like the great mystic yogis, everyone remembered the passing of Bhishma. There was a tumultuous noise as they all chanted the holy names of Hari and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became overwhelmed with ecstatic love. The Lord raised the body of Haridas Thakur and placed it on his lap. Then he began to dance in the courtyard in great ecstatic love. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love, all the devotees were helpless. In ecstatic love, they also began to dance and chant congregationally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced for some time, and then Sarup Damodar Goswami informed him of their other rituals to the body of Thakur Haridas. The body of Haridas Thakur was then raised onto a carrier that resembled an airship and was taken to the sea, accompanied by congregational chanting. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in front of the procession of a Vikrasura Pandit, along with the other devotees, chanted and danced behind him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed the body of Haridas Thakur in the sea, and then declared, from this day on, this sea has become a great pilgrimage site. So that's the ocean there in Jagannath Puri. Everyone drank the water that had touched the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur, and they smeared remnants of Lord Jagannath's sandalwood pulp over the body of Haridas Thakur. After a hole was dug in the sand, the body of Haridas Thakur was placed in it. Remnants from Lord Jagannath, such as his silken ropes, sandalwood pulp, food and cloth, were placed on the body. All around the body, the devotees performed congregational chanting, and the Krishna Pandit danced in jubilation. With his transcendental hands, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally covered the body of Haridas Thakur with sand and chanted, Haribo, Haribo. The devotees covered the body of Haridas Thakur with sand and constructed a platform upon the site. The platform was protected all around by fencing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and chanted all around the platform, and as the holy name of Hari roared tumultuously, the whole universe became filled with his vibration. After Sankirtan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed in the sea with his devotees, swimming and playing in the water in great jubilation. Then, of course, he asked for a great feast to be held. They all went and personally begged for the food, begged the shopkeepers for alms, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally did, and he prepared a great feast and ate in honor of Haridas Thakur. Then, after they ate, and Lord Chaitanya ate a lot, he said he was not used to eating small amounts, and he said, kept saying, give me more, give him, and he wanted all the devotees to eat more and more. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this benediction. Anyone who has seen the festival of Sri Haridas Thakur's passing away, anyone who has chanted and danced here, anyone who has offered sand on the body of Haridas Thakur, and anyone who has joined this festival to partake of the prasadam will achieve the favor of Krishna very soon. This is such wonderful power in seeing Haridas Thakur. Being merciful upon me, Krishna gave me the association of Haridas Thakur. Being independent in his desires, he has now broken that association. When Haridas Thakur wanted to leave this material body, it was not within my power to detain him. Simply by his will, Haridas Thakur could give up his life and go away, exactly like Bhishma, who previously died simply by his own desire, as we've heard from Shastra. Haridas Thakur was the crown jewel on the head of this world. Without him, this world is now bereft of its valuable jewel. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told everyone, say all glories to Haridas Thakur and chant the holy name of Hari. Saying this, he personally began to dance. Everyone began to chant all glories to Haridas Thakur, who revealed the importance of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Thereafter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to all the devotees and, mixed with feelings of happiness and distress, took rest. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Hare Gobind.